Hello and welcome to the first Personnel Today Friday podcast of 2010. I'm Tara Craig and I'm joined by Kat Baker and expert HR employment law editor Susie Munro. Coming up, with the country in the grip of the worst weather in three decades, we take a look at the impact of the snow on both employers and employees. And we hear about the employment law implications of the current extreme weather conditions. But first, the news. Changes to the immigration system this week mean that skilled migrant workers must now apply for ID cards if they want to extend their visas. Tier 2 workers must now register their biometrics before visa extensions will be considered. UK employers saved more than £27 million last year through staff working unpaid overtime, according to the TUC. According to their figures, over 5 million people regularly worked unpaid overtime in 2009. They worked an average of 7 hours and 12 minutes unpaid overtime per week, worth more than £5,000 a year. A bin man has been taken off the round he has worked for more than 30 years because his council said he collected too much rubbish. West Lancashire Borough Council issued Albert Stewart with a written warning for collecting bags of rubbish in addition to emptying wheelie bins. You can read these and other news stories in full on personneltoday.com. Kat, what has the snow meant for the HR community this week?
Thanks, Tara. Yeah, the snow's caused absolute chaos for employers this week, with some employers actually facing absence rates of up to 14%, which, as you can imagine, makes it quite difficult for them to maintain some of their core services. But I actually think HR professionals, from those that I've spoken to anyway, have managed the situation remarkably well and have been really resourceful. I spoke to a number of council HR professionals and they've taken it upon themselves to ask their staff who have 4x4 vehicles to use those where they can to try and help other frontline staff get to work. Which has been quite remarkable and seems to have worked quite well, and it's kept some of their frontline services, like adult care services, going during the week. Lethan Green, who's the Assistant Director of Personnel Training at East Sussex County Council, told me that six of his own HR team were actually directly involved in this and used their own vehicles to try and get staff to work. Meanwhile, Richard Crouch, who's the Head of HR and Organisational Development at Somerset County Council, used his own 4x4 to help support a local primary school.
Buckinghamshire County Council have also been calling upon local 4x4 drivers, haven't they?
They have. I spoke to Gillian Hibbard, who's the HR director at that council. She was snowed in herself, but she managed to coordinate with her function, speaking to local 4x4 enthusiast clubs and asking them to supply vehicles to help home care staff get up to people's houses where they live in remote areas.
What about staff who haven't been able to get into work this week? What have the HR heads been doing around this?
Well, most of the HR heads that I've spoken to are taking the policy that if staff can't come into work, then they either have to take unpaid leave or they have to take annual leave. But there were actually two that I spoke to who bucked this trend. The first was Tony Leahy, who's the head of HR at the Bank of Cyprus. He said that he wasn't going to penalise staff who couldn't make it into work because he felt that this would give the company the goodwill factor. Also, law firm Linklaters decided not to penalise staff who couldn't get into work because many of them could work from home and those that couldn't still had BlackBerries and could stay in contact.
It's less than a year since the last big snowfall across the UK. Has there been a rise in the number of people working from home this time?
It seems that there has. It seems that a lot of employers seem better equipped this time round. Many of the HR directors that I spoke to said a lot of their staff were able to work from home and had the technological capabilities to do that. A lot of people spoke about the use of teleconferencing and video conferencing to hold meetings that had been booked in the diary. And there was also a poll by law firm Peninsula, which surveyed 462 companies at the height of the snow on Wednesday. And that found that in total, 44% of the UK workforce was working from home.
Okay, so there's been quite a bit more flexibility and ingenuity this time around.
It seems so, yeah. Okay.
Thanks, Kat. Susie, we've heard quite a range of responses from HR to the snow and ice this week. Do employers actually have to pay people who don't make it into the office?
Well, technically, there's no right for an employee to be paid if they haven't gone to work when they're expected to. It is the responsibility of the employee to make sure that they're able to get to work when they are supposed to. But as we've heard from Kat, a lot of employers are going to take a more common sense approach. Many employers won't actually stop the pay of an employee who's unable, genuinely unable, to get into work if it's for reasons completely beyond the employee's control. Aside from that, docking employees' pay is never going to be popular with the workforce, so from the point of view of good employee relations, employers should be considering alternatives. The options for employers are either to pay employees if they're genuinely not able to get into work, or they could allow the employee to take the time off as annual leave, or they could allow the employees to make up the time at a later date. There's also obviously alternatives, again, that we've heard of with the various examples. Working from home is the most obvious example, but having said that, many jobs just aren't suitable for that option.
In the case where staff are obviously taking advantage of the situation when they could get to work, but they're saying otherwise, what sort of disciplinary measures are we looking at?
In that kind of situation, an employer can follow their usual disciplinary procedure. They would need to carry out some form of investigation to find out whether the employee was actually abusing the system. So if they've got evidence that, say they've said that they can't get into work, but they've got evidence that they were able to get somewhere else, or if they're saying that they're working from home, but they've spent the day outside building a snowman or something like that, then that would clearly be a situation where the disciplinary procedure could come in.
Okay, so we've talked a lot about people getting into the office. What about staff who are working off-site? There must be health and safety implications there.
Yes, employers always have to keep in mind their duty to ensure the health, safety and welfare of their employees. So if you've got employees who are working out in the kind of weather that we've seen, obvious things like making sure that they've got the right protective clothing, that they've got the opportunity to take enough breaks to warm up, and where possible, altering their duties so that they don't have to work outside. The other thing to consider is driving is obviously very dangerous at the moment, so employers should be trying to minimise any driving that that employees are required to do.
What about conditions for staff who are in the office? Is there a minimum temperature?
There's no minimum temperature set down by the legislation. The workplace regulations say that workplaces should be a reasonable temperature, which isn't very helpful. The Health and Safety Executive does set out guidance that says for an office where people are mainly doing sedentary work, sitting in front of a computer all day, then the minimum temperature is 16 degrees. If the work involves more activity, then the recommended temperature is 13 degrees C.
One of the biggest things in the news this week has been the closure of schools. There's a huge proportion of schools in the UK have been closed. What are the employment law implications where staff have had to take time off to care for children who would otherwise be in school?
Well, this is where the employee's right to take time off for dependents may come into play. Employees have a right for unpaid time off if there is an unexpected disruption to care arrangements for a dependent. The right is, as I say, for unpaid leave. So the thing with this is that it's really for use in an emergency situation, and it's to allow employees to make alternative arrangements rather than to actually provide the care themselves for a longer period. So it really depends on what is seen as being reasonable as to how much time off employees should be allowed. But for school closures, most of the time it's announced in the morning whether the school's going to be open or not, so obviously employees aren't going to have much time to make alternative arrangements. And again, employers really need to take a common sense approach, and they may well have to allow employees to take the time off. The right is for unpaid time off. So it's really down to employers whether they are prepared to pay the employee in this situation.
Thanks, Susie. Well, that's it from this week's podcast. Thank you for listening. Remember to go online to check the latest news and views from the HR community at hrspace.co.uk. That's hrspace.co.uk. Until next week, goodbye.